up now, get up out of bed, wash your face, brush your teeth, come your sleep.
You're listening to Because I Said So, and we've got two holidays coming up. We have Veterans Day in November, so we're talking to a veteran about, you know, the importance of talking to your kids about Veterans Day and what you want to stress with them. Also, Halloween will be coming up, and we want to talk about, you know, do you really want your kids to dress up like scary ghosts and ghouls, or, you know, what happened to the little superheroes? You're listening to Because I Said So.
Did you wash behind your ears, play outside, don't play rough, would you just play fair people?
Thanks for listening to Because I Said So. Kim and I are here. Kim and I say I, Jenny.
Yes.
If people don't know my voice. But we are actually joined by a guest today. We have Mike Detmer, who is the administrative head of Wicomico Day School. And there's a reason why we are, you know, telling people that. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
But because we're talking to you about Veterans Day coming up on November 11th, and being the administrative head of the day school, it's interesting because we want to know, you know, how to talk about kids about Veterans Day, what to tell them. And, you know, you have your own experiences because you were in the Marine Corps, Mike. Mm-hmm. Do you share a lot of your stories with your kids?
Well, before I answer that, I really did want to thank you. You know, veterans have different ways of sharing things, and they all have very different experiences that vary in intensity, and it's strange sometimes what can be so stressful and impactful. But, you know, there was a lot of things that I saw that I really I'd like to talk about. So in a sense, thank you for the catharsis that this brings. I feel like a lot of why I'm here, you know, why I came back is so I could tell my story. It's something I like to do. So thanks for having me in that sense.
You're welcome.
But to answer your question about how, you know, how do you talk to kids, and, you know, being a history teacher and teaching about things like World War I and World War II, I find it to be invaluable because I can share some anecdotes and, you know, they identify with me, I think, and then I can sort of connect to my experience and then connect that experience to what I'm talking about. So it's been a really big tool for me to be able to, you know, I was talking with seventh graders this week about the Spanish-American War, and we were reading a story and about bullets, you know, cracking by your head, and, you know, not to be dramatic, and I phrase it like that, and I'm very careful, of course, with how I say it, but things like that, I can describe how that sounds, and I feel that's very powerful, because that's one of the things I want to try to do is connect them with history and give them a frame of reference, and not to be some dry words in a book and some dry story, but have it, I mean, that's a real vivid experience for someone at some point.
Did you like history, Kim?
One question is that, did I like history? You know, no, because not everyone is able to bring history alive.
That's
like
what
that.
I'm thinking. You know, I wasn't very interested because I didn't have that experience.
Tell us.
We're all interested in good stories.
Right.
And not all history can be like that, but the more it can be, the better.
When you can relate your personal experiences to the kids, absolutely. So you were in the Marine Corps?
Yes, I was actually I enlisted with the intention of becoming an officer. I woke up one day in boot camp and realized it wasn't going to be for me. And that was the reason. You know, I look back and I see now the path that I think was laid out before me, and everything would have been different then. Mm-hmm. You know, my whole experience would have been different. I wouldn't have certainly traded it for anything. But I had enlisted in the reserves, so I had entered the working world again. And I got a phone call one day that we're going to Iraq.
You got the phone call that you're going to Iraq.
That was at a much different time, perspective-wise. That was in the summer of 2004. So if the war started in 2003, I mean, you know, looking back, we see this whole way that the war has played out and now seems to be over and is over for American troops there for that concern. But there were still a lot of battles to be fought. And, you know, being in the military and being deployed anywhere, and the word is, as it says, the word always changes about where you're going. And we had heard early on that we were going to Fallujah, which at that time was a very big hot spot. And that's actually ended up where my unit went.
At that time, did you have a family?
I have brothers and sisters, and parents and step-parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles, but thankfully, no connections. And some of my buddies that were activated with me and other Marines that I met, you know, they had wives and they had children born when they were overseas. And I can't fathom the burden that that would have posed. And one thing that I'm grateful for, one thing that they said was when we were coming back, they said, you know, you're going to go home feeling like everyone owes you something. They said, but remember that, you know, you had the benefit of waking up and knowing that you're waking up. Your family didn't have that. So take that with a grain of salt and think about the sacrifices that they had to endure and the hardship they had to endure. So in that sense, you know, I was so grateful for my family and found out later that it was very difficult for them. And
just not knowing, right?
Just not knowing and the stress and the battle that I was a part of was big in the headlines. And there were other instances that I think caused my family some acute stress. And, you know, I regret that, but that's part of the journey that I took. And, you know, I'm grateful for that they bore that part of the burden.
That was very insightful for him to, you know, kind of relate it to that for you, you know, because I don't think I would really think about that if I were the soldier. It's true. Mm-hmm. It is.
Mike, were you a teacher before you went to war?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't. And I think part of me seeking the military is I've always been a history buff and always been really interested in it. And I was looking for what I wanted to contribute to. Mm-hmm. And in those terms, I mean, and I had worked at a job with very nice people and very good hours and, you know, decent pay. And my life was very comfortable and enjoyable. And I really feel like I felt like there was something that was missing. And, you know, being in the military, being in the reserves, I actually had gotten to one point where I thought about trying to find some way to go to Iraq because in some optimistic way, I thought that the conflict was going to be over. I felt like I didn't want to miss it. I wanted to see with my own two eyes. As it turned out, I got quite the perspective.
Yeah. Maybe more than you thought.
More than I had bargained for, really.
But I'm sure that, you know, the stories that you share with those students, are they just staring at you with big eyes? I mean, it has to be very interesting to them.
Well, I've always told my students, because there's a whole spectrum of stories. And a lot of times, you have to forgive me, a lot of times when I start talking about it, I feel like I'm being melodramatic. But, I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not making any of it up. Mm-hmm. It's either something I've heard or something that is like a immediate secondhand story. But a lot of the stories I've told them, you know, 4 years after you graduate high school, I say when you graduate college, but I say 4 years after, come track me down on Facebook or whatever. I'll tell you any story you want to hear. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them are just a little bit over the heads of what's appropriate for middle school. And I certainly wouldn't want to damage, you know, them in any way. But when I dip into some of the stories, the well of some of the stories, there are some, I think it's hard to believe. And in some regards, I look back at what I saw and it's staggering. Mm-hmm. I mean, the scope of things that I saw and just it almost sounds cliche, but the humanity and the actual explosions and things like that, you mm-hmm. just can't, it's unreal. It's totally surreal. Mm-hmm. And when I talk about those, I think that it's almost hard for them to take. And there's also a couple of my friends that did not come back. And I've, in an appropriate way, I've had a great opportunity to share their story some. And that has been rewarding for me. And having spent some time with the families of those friends since, I feel like that's the least I can do because I hold them in this really high regard. I mean, they're really some of the greatest of our generation. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's part of my mission now going forward to tell their story a little bit.
Well, we're going to have you share some stories with us. We got to take a quick break and we'll be back. We're talking with Mike Detmer from Wicomico Day School, but also, you know, our topic today is Veterans Day coming up. We'll be back.
This is folk singer Michael Jonathan. Grassroots music is passionate, brilliant, and on the air on WSDL. So let's explore it together as we celebrate the heart and spirit of folk music right here on 90.7 FM. So tune up your banjo, grab the fiddle off the wall, and tune in every Sunday evening at 9 for the weekly broadcast of the Wood Songs Old Time Radio.
You're listening to Because I Said So, and Veterans Day is coming up November 11th. We are joined by a veteran of sorts, Mike Detmer. He's the administrative head of Wicomico Day School, but also was in the Marine Corps, and he was in Iraq. And Mike, you don't mind sharing your stories with your students, and I think that's great. Is there any one story that sticks out in your head that really made an impact on the students that you teach?
It's difficult. A lot of the stories, I have to be generic and I have to glaze over some of the details. Mm-hmm. And the more powerful stories and the ones that really impacted me the most are in that bunch that, you know, I'll have to wait until maybe one day if they ever want to know. But, you know, the two things, you know, the thing that I really find to be most impactful is telling the story. I had two friends, and one of them was killed in Fallujah, and one of them was killed in an adjacent area called Haditha. And they were both friends of mine, not super close friends, but just really, really good guys. And I tell their story. The young man that was in Fallujah, his name is Brad Arms, and the young man in Haditha was Jesse Strong, and both. I think you can Google search both of their names, and just really, I mean, the cream of the crop, and both had strong Christian faith, and both were just, had been promoted faster. Mm-hmm. Really, both of them had hit sergeant faster than anybody else that I knew in the unit, and just, you know, physical specimens and just great Marines, great guys. And I've had the privilege of spending a little bit of time with their family since, and I really saw, you know, where their greatness came from. And that's probably the most impactful thing that I've had the chance to share with my kids, that, you know, that there's, we hear a lot about sacrifice and about the cost, and sometimes it can be sort of a faceless thing, but that puts a face on it. And again, I believe that, you know, those two guys and what they represent. I mean, that story's been played out. If you look through history and the sacrifices that Americans have made, you know, that's been played out. And that, I think, should give us an appreciation for the world that we have now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, support or not support the war, you know, those, you can't deny. In my mind, that's one thing that I've taken away, is that I can't deny the men that they were, and, you know, that I feel compelled to never let their story go untold. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so hard for us that, you know, we feel so removed from what actually happens. And as a parent trying to teach my children just the significance and the actual sacrifices that people do make. And, you know, you try to give them firsthand knowledge or hands-on experience. And I know this past summer we went to New York, we went to the 9/11 memorial. Mm-hmm. And that is the first time that I could see a little bit of understanding in my kids' eyes that, you know, all of these names that are here, they really signify a person. And it right. was such an emotional moment for my family, and I felt that sense of I don't know, gratitude that they finally were getting it. So, you know, I know you have kids of your own. Mm-hmm. What can you tell us parents, how can we share with our kids so that they really get a sense of Veterans Day and what it means? Do you have some tips for us?
The lesson, and being a history teacher, you know, it's what we were talking about in the last segment of, you know, trying to make that real connection. I mean, there's real stories of real people. And something that I've found to be really remarkable is, you know, we have a lot of, this will probably be for older students or older kids, sorry. But, you know, if you go and read some of the living or some of the Medal of Honor recipients, I was just last night and thinking about coming on with you guys, I was looking at some of the living Medal of Honor recipients, and to be a living Medal of Honor recipient is just, to be any Medal of Honor recipient, which is the highest award for valor, most of them are posthumous. But some of these things that these guys did in the extreme, and a lot of it is about sacrifice and just being out of ammunition and carrying people back. And, I mean, these profiles of just people that had forsaken themselves, forsaken their well-being, and, you know, for their fellows. And that's what we want to raise. We want to raise good citizens and people that are willing to be strong and willing to know what battle to fight and be willing to fight the battle and capable of fighting, whether that battle be making the right choice in high school or college, you know, or, you know, whatever it is, that's what we want. We want good, you know, strong kids. So that's what I would advise is, you know, don't be afraid to look at some of those profiles of courage and even some of the stories of some of the fallen and really connecting. And, I mean, people leave behind loved ones, and men and women have left behind families and little ones. And, you know, the thing that I think is most striking about the two friends that I shared about is I've thought, and this is hypothetical, but, you know, I think of them as if they had been faced with a choice of it being someone else. I can't imagine them shifting that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to look at those real stories of them and others and the courage and the heroism and the conviction, I think is a lesson that can be gleaned from Veterans Day. And just, you know, understanding also that the range of experience can be so broad. Mm-hmm. And even within my platoon, which was about 40 or 50, depending on the way we were deployed, you know, the experiences of the men of such similar age and background and geographical location and all these things, the experience is just so broad and varied. And in some way, if you can not take that for granted, and just look at each vet as having such a unique set of stories and experiences, I think that would go a long way too.
Definitely. That's great advice, because I'm going to look that up online, and I think that my boys would be totally engaged with the stories of the recipients and their real stories of people. I think sometimes, you know, movies and TV can sensationalize certain things where there's not really a connection because it's just a movie. And, you know, the older our kids get, they know it's just a movie. There's people acting. This is not real.
Absolutely. And some of these stories are superhuman. I mean, it's really hard to believe, but it's real.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
It's been my pleasure.
Your time.
Do we have time?
Yeah, go ahead.
How will you recognize Veterans Day? What will you do?
Well, because the Battle of Fallujah was in the early part of November, and each day, you know, this is the day that this was a 4-hour firefight, and, you know, the 10th is the Marine Corps birthday, and the 11th is Veterans Day, so this is always a very emotional time for me. And then remembering some of the dates that, you know, some fallen friends. But I remember, and I take the chance to talk about it. Some people don't like to talk about it, and that's fine. That's their path. But to talk about it as much as I can and keep those things in memory. And that's how I commemorate it, as I look back and I say, 8 years ago today, you know, such and such happened. Mm. I think that's how my story is going to continue.
That is very, very, very nice. And I know that your kids will appreciate that, too, growing up, to hear those stories that you have to share. So, Mike, thank you so much for joining us. Maybe this will help people have a better understanding of how to celebrate Veterans Day. It's on some people's minds, maybe not on others, but hopefully we can put it on more people's minds on that day, November 11th. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Christopher Kimball from America's Test Kitchen Radio. Each week, we take you behind the scenes into the world of equipment tests, taste tests, the science of cooking, and culinary history. You'll learn how to make New York-style pizza and perfect scrambled eggs, and you'll join me for blind tastings of wine and supermarket foods. And of course, we take your calls to answer your questions each week on America's Test Kitchen Radio from the Public Radio Exchange, PRX.org.
Saturdays at 3 on WSDL.
Now, we had two great segments on Veterans Day coming up with Mike Detmer. And thanks so much, Mike, for joining us. We also want to talk about something else coming up prior to Veterans Day, and that's Halloween, trick or treat, and my son's birthday, because he was born on Halloween.
Oh, wow.
I say he was my trick and my treat, but it's a pretty fun birthday to have, I think. And with that comes Be Prepared, folks. Just Zoo It. It is a campaign that DZS, Delmarva Zoological Society, did last year for the first time. It was so successful. We're doing it again this year. And we got the buy-in from the Wicomico County School System. We are dropping off these little cans, these Just Zoo It cans, to all of the children, the elementary school children in Wicomico County Schools. So when they come around to trick-or-treat, they not only want your candy, they want your money. just change, you know, you can drop change in the can, have some spare change by the door, and all the money will go to the Renew the Zoo campaign with Delmarva Zoological Society. And everyone loves the zoo.
Oh, I think it's a great campaign. I remember last year my daughter was so excited to bring her can home. She couldn't wait to take it out trick-or-treating, but she was super excited, so she actually filled the can before Halloween.
That's great.
I know. So we didn't even have to take the can trick-or-treating, but she is just as excited this year to bring it home. And what a great way to get the kids involved.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel like they're a part of this new exhibit that's going to be coming. And I believe I have this figure straight that last year the kids collected over $30,000 in dimes, quarters, nickels, pennies.
They did. And it was amazing. That's why, you know, we're doing it again this year. Like you said, the new exhibit, the wallabies are coming, folks. They're going to be here before we know it. And it's very exciting. Some people got a sneak peek. I wasn't one of them, but a friend of mine was. And she said they're just adorable.
Oh, I cannot.
I know.
It's very exciting. So as you're getting ready for Halloween and you're, you know, dressing up to go out, don't forget to take your Just Do It can with you.
That's right. And if your children don't go to, you know, public school and they didn't get a can at school, you can pick them up at the zoo, at the Salisbury Zoo. We have plenty of cans to share.
What do we do when we're done with them? You take
Actually,
them back?
We DZS will pick them up. Mm-hmm. We've delivered all the cans in boxes, divided, you know, by teacher's name and how many kids they have in their class, and it's very, very organized and structured this year. And we want to make it as easy as possible on the people who are helping raise money for the zoo, because they're out, you know, on pounding the pavement. Well, they're getting candy too, but they're helping the zoo. And the two classrooms last year won a great party. There was a public school class who raised the most money and a private school class who raised the most money. They got a VIP party at the zoo, pizza party. So there'll be tons of fun prizes. And all kids who Just Zoo It will get a free Joey meal from Outback Steakhouse.
You know, I just thought about something. A couple weeks ago on the show, we were talking about the value of having children be able to talk to adults. And this is a perfect example to sit down with your kid and say, hey, when you go to the door, this is what you say. Don't just hold out the can, but say,
right,
hey, would you please, you know, mind whatever your speech that you have prepared. And then you can teach your kids to make sure that they say thank you after they get a donation. And it really does. I'll tell you, passing out candy, nothing annoys me more when the kid just grabs some candy and walks off.
I know.
Like, just say thank you.
Or trick or treat even.
Yeah.
My son last year ran from door to door. Trick or treat, smell my feet, give me something good to eat. If you don't, I'll fold down your underwear.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, that's enough. After like the fifth time, enough.
Yeah, but yeah, the trick-or-treat and the thank yous. Yeah, good tip, Chris.
Yeah.
So, Jenny, what are your kids dressing up as?
Oh, it's different this year, Kim. It's very sad. They've kind of graduated to scary. There's no more superheroes in our world. There's a zombie skeleton and then a mirror-masked kind of, I don't even really know, but the face is a mirror, so you're looking at yourself in his face, Stephen, and I just, you know, we went shopping and they wanted to be scariness.
Yeah, it happens. I know. I think my son, for the past 3, maybe 4 years, he gave up the fun, what I call the superhero kind of costumes, and went to the scary ones. And you know, I don't particularly like them. His sister didn't particularly like them, but what are you going to do?
I think it's time this year that all parents stand up for spooky Halloween versus horrible horror Halloween. Like spooky Halloween.
Do you mean like ghosts and witches?
Silly ghosts and things that are, you know, slightly spooky and slightly scary. I don't like to see dismembered bodies. No. You know, it's just...
And there are so many costumes out there now with those kind of items.
That's what I'm saying.
Items.
Parents, stand up for spooky versus creepy.
We went to a store here locally. I won't name any names because I don't want to bash anyone. But It was very shocking because they had an entire section in the back of like zombie bloody babies.
Yeah.
And I was like, really? Like, not just one. There were probably over 25 different zombie bloody babies.
Which is fine if you're having a party for, you know, other adults, I guess. But, you know.
I don't even think I would want to look at that all night.
You know what I mean? Like, when 5-year-olds are walking down the street, they don't need to see your dismembered.
No,
I know. I agree, because you know what happens. I mean, I can speak from my daughter a few years ago. I mean, she had nightmares.
Yeah.
And she had nightmares just from passing the outside of those stores and seeing what was in them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you, but, you know, it's really hard when that's what's out there.
Yeah.
I wrote about this, so I'm kind of repeating myself, but I like homemade costumes. Not handmade. I don't mean that you actually sew them together, but what you can find around your house, those are my favorite. Now, I'm not very good at it, but my husband and kids are great at it, and they come up with these great ideas.
What are they going to be?
Well, I don't want to give it away. No, I'm kidding.
I was like, man.
No, but I was going to share that, you know, one year when it was kind of big, like my husband, this was before kids, but he dressed up as Little Caesar for Little Caesar's Pizza and had the little steak with the pizzas. I mean, how fun was that?
That's cute.
You know, we've done the whole, just the mummy stuff, things that you can actually find the materials at home. I love when you can do that.
I remember making the costume, the robot costume out of boxes, and then you took the air hoses and made the hands, and, you know, I love that.
Yeah,
kids remember that, too.
They do.
My stepmom made mine one year, and I can't say I loved it, but she made it. It was a soda can. But it was out of fabric and with the hula hoop, you know, for the top of the can. And I was a Coke can, but I didn't really want to be a Coke can. I was made to be a Coke can because she made it.
You wanted to be Pepsi.
She made it. So I had to wear it. But I actually like homemade costumes, too. Mm-hmm. I think they're just more fun. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. You have a quick Mother of the Month story to share?
Oh.
I think we have a minute left.
Is that all we have?
Yeah.
Oh, well, let me share this.
Okay,
real quick. So, you know, Wicomico County Schools, 9 out of 11 of them, I guess, have gone to CAP, which is Consistent Attire Program, which really has been pretty easy in the mornings, although it took me a little while to realize that my daughter's been wearing the same bottoms over and over and over again. She has... let me just say, without them being washed. She's coming down and I'm, you know, not paying a lot of attention because they're the same color.
Right.
So you're not looking for variety. And I just wasn't realizing that in a week's time, she was putting on the same pants or shorts and wearing them every day. So, hello. On me, spotlight on me that I didn't realize.
Now you're just going to look in the laundry basket to make sure there's a pair of those pants in there,
getting
right?
Getting stiff with dirt.
Yeah.
Well, you know, now we've become much more aware of it, and she can't just wear that one pair of pants or that one pair of shorts anymore.
No,
funny.
That's okay. It's all right. If it's not like yelling out at you, you know, then you just kind of, you're too busy to kind of recognize that.
And thankfully, she didn't have a big pizza stain or anything on them, right?
So. I would only say that mine is pretty simple and straightforward, and it's actually something I'm pretty proud of because Nicholas looked at me yesterday and said, "Mommy, if they're cowboys, why don't they ride on cows?" And I looked at him and I was like, "Oh my gosh, that's a great question." And I didn't really respond. I'm like, I just kept telling him how smart he was. I'm like, "Yeah, great question." And then if I talked to a friend of mine and he's like, "Well, they herd cows." I'm like, yeah, but the whole point is they don't ride cows.
Why aren't they called horse boys?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's a great question.
I do too.
Good for him.
We're going to give Nicholas the prize for the week, the smart kid prize for the week. You're listening to Because I Said So. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll catch you next time.
Stop crying.
You've been listening to Because I Said So, a production of Delmarva Public Radio. For more information, including podcasts of this episode, visit us online at becauseisaidsoradio.com. Thanks to Anita Renfro for allowing us to use her song Momisms as our theme song. And be sure to like us on Facebook. Look for the lady with the red hot lips.
I said so, I said so, I said so, I said so. I'm the mom, the mom, the mom, the mom, the mom.